you've been looking for a podcast to help you transform your physical and mental, one that'll shoot you straight between the eyes with truth and no BS, helping you have the right mindset to accomplish things, the iron will and fortitude to follow through with what you say you're going to do. No excuses. Mark owns martial arts schools, and after 30 years, he has some real insight for real talk, real life, real conversations, motivational, fitness, self-defense, weight loss, live from the Great 1-8. This is Real Talk with Mark Cox.
All right. It looks like we popped on live, man.
All right.
So we're here. So it's good afternoon, Matt. I think that you guys are 3 hours ahead. Georgia time's 3 hours ahead.
Yes, sir.
And so it's noon at your time. And matter of fact, I think what's happening is you're missing your – are you allowed to miss your meeting?
Oh, that's actually
your staff meeting?
That's on Wednesday.
That's on Wednesday. So,
yes, sir.
Oh, so you got –
I'm good. Because private lesson starts at 1. So
yeah, so we got an hour, we got a good hour together, and then we'll get talking about. So I'll introduce you. Now, I've known you since you're a little kid, probably at 3 or 4 years old, when you were at Statesboro Karate. That's when you started. So, and how old are you now, Matt? How old are you now?
23.
You're 23. I think you're the youngest guy I've had on so far on these podcasts, right? We see that You know, you've come up from a 3 year old to be this, this chief instructor of a big school, and you know, we'll get into how that all started. So, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself, and why don't you tell everybody when you started your martial arts training?
Okay, my name is Matthew St. George. I'm 23 years old. I started karate actually when I was about 4 or 5. My parents put me into it. I was always, I would say, a scrappy young man. So what else other than contact sport? And I fell in love with it as a kid. I'm allowed to punch people in the face all day, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was great as a kid. I was always, I looked up to the instructors. I remember Carson as a young man, and would impress me with his jump kicks. Carson, I don't know if you can remember his, he was like the bunny, man. Carson could jump.
Yes, I remember.
It seemed like 20 feet in the air. And I would always look back and be like, wow, like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
And, that's ninja stuff. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, well, I remember, you know, you started with Clay Pearson out in Statesboro, and I guess Carson's kind of been part of your life for ever since you started, I'd imagine, right?
Yes,
because
sir.
he was helping Mr. Pearson with his school back at the time, and I don't think everybody really realizes that my closeness came to Carson probably more when his dad was battling cancer, and
yes,
that's where his and I's really forged a relationship together. And so I've watched you now as a young guy. I remember, like, you grew up in martial arts when it was pretty brutal. Okay.
Yes,
it was when instructors were knocking you out, and it is true. You had this path of being this aggressive young guy, and you know, it's funny. I was aggressive too when I started. I wasn't as young as you. I was 22. And I had that same aggressiveness, but you had it ever since you were a little kid and trying to get this little ball of thunder under control, you know. And your dad, you took with your father, right? And
yes, sir.
Your brother,
yes, sir,
right? Yeah, the three of you, the three St. Georges. I remember being at your black belt test, and we've been together for a long, long time, and it's been a joy to watch how you have you grown up into how you're in charge of the mat at a major school. It's actually been pretty impressive to say the least. You know, I'm always coming down there giving you a hard time. I never get to. So
you, I know. You, you I know, don't you're even gonna. Know you're right not gonna. You're not gonna.
It's a test. It's gonna be like. What, okay, wait a second. This can't be real. That Mr. Cox is giving me a compliment, right? It's so. But I would say that let's talk about how the martial arts kind of where it helped you out the most. Okay. Do you feel that it helped you? Do you feel like it helped you calm that, or do you feel like it released an animal?
Absolutely. Well, it depends. So that's now it's like a 50-50. I didn't even think of it that way. I would say it most definitely controlled it more than anything. 100%. Like I could, you come in here, you know, throw on some music, you worry about yourself, you can go over all the stuff you've been training and just get it out, you know, like ever, as soon as you step on the mat, it kind of like, it goes away, you know, like it's home. Like this is where it's like, all right, this is what it's all about. And then on the other side of how you say it kind of just unleashes something. Well, definitely when you get partnered with someone like Bouchard or something along those lines, it really helps too when you go out and do the military contracts and things like that.
Yes.
It really helps to like show that at the end of the day, like I don't need to do something, but if I need to, it's like the get out of jail Monopoly card. It's always in your back pocket, you know? You don't need to throw it out, but it's always there just in case.
It is. It's yeah, right. So the reason, and it's one of the reasons I decided to have you on, because you know you're such a young guy and you know you don't have super life experience, but you've got some life experience that is life changing, believe it or not. Even though you're a young man, you've got some stuff that has happened in your life, and we're gonna, you know, we'll kind of hit on each one of those until we get to talking about you know working with special needs and what that's really done to your heart. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so, we talked a little bit about how, you know, first of all, I'm not sure if everybody knows, it's kind of like Michael at one time you were quite a little roly poly yourself. Is that correct? You were a heavy set kid taking martial arts, right? Yes, sir. And, you know, I just asked you before air, I mean, did you get bullied in school? And then you shared with me that you were actually homeschooled. And so let's talk about the weight loss first. You know, what changed in your mind and decided to make that? Because I remember, I got to keep the story straight on which ones I want to say about you.
Yeah, I was about to say that's what I.
So because I watched you kind of undertaking. You were, you know. Some people may not know, just as fit as you are today and what an athlete you are today, that wasn't always the case. Nope. So why don't you give us what that looked like in your life?
I feel like I was always on the heavier side, being a kid, but I would say probably at like 13, 14, that's when it hit me. And I was like, wow. Because when I would go to karate, and that's when, again, like 13 is when it really picked off and I went back to martial arts real heavy. I couldn't do the ninja moves. Like, I couldn't be what I was expected to be because of when I started, who I started with, how long I've been doing this. So me not being able to jump out a butterfly round on, like, things... It was unacceptable. So that's what really hit me. And then depressed, like you're not, when you eat healthier, when you're constantly moving, you feel better without a doubt. And at 14, it was like, your body's changing everything. You feel like everything sucks. Like you're angry at the world. You don't know what you feel like your parents don't know what you're going through. Nobody knows what you're going through. And so to try to find like the easiest ways to be happy, just eat right, move a little bit, you know, things. And so it was really on the search for happiness on like trying to be healthier.
Right. Which is good. You know, I think, you know, you know, even in my own son's lives, you know, myself, my journey, my son's journeys, they've lost, you know, as Michael lost over 100 pounds, Daniel lost over 100 pounds, their dad, myself, all of us. So I think you really hit on something that, you know, is near and dear to us. I think we always have kind of a soft spot for those that feel out of shape and or yes, feel sir. Like they can't do something. I've watched you do the same thing on the mat where you because you've had the experience, you're able to relate to people and make them feel comfortable in a very uncomfortable situation, you know, so based on what your life, experience has been. So, you know, I think that that's a great testimony on what you are, because anybody that watches you today, you know, you're super athletic today and we bring you down to the base to make sure that you can, tune up soldiers and do what you do. So that's been awesome to watch. Now, was there a period of time? Now you talked a little bit about coming back to the studio. Was there a period of time that you left the school for a while? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. You know, sports, you know, want to play football, want to wrestle, mm-hmm. You know, all the typical things. You
did
know?
You wrestle? Did you wrestle in high school, dude?
Yes, sir. So, it was anything scrappy, trying to do something different. That was, yeah. And it was so stupid. It was so stupid.
Well, I don't think
I regret it every time.
I know there's things that we regret in life, and you tell students now, but you have that story now, right? You have that story to say, hey, listen, there was a period I could have kept martial arts and I could have played ball and wrestled all in the same time and kept that martial arts going because. So now you have a story. So whether we regret what we do or we grow from what we do, right? So I think that that's a testament to you on what that is, because I think we all have gone down there. So a couple of shout outs. You see Stormy's watching you right now.
And this is
Austin and Grandma's watching you right now.
Yeah,
we'll talk about Austin, man. We love him, right? Absolutely. And this is a good friend of mine. His name is Glenn. He's watching from Texas. Him and I go way, way back from way before you were even a thought process on the mat. You know, Glenn and I were on the mat back in the early 80s. So he's watching from Texas. So I believe he's doing some police stuff. Glenn is. I think you're. I see that your brother just got out of the police department.
He did.
And so that's something we'll touch on. But so you did step away for a while, and of course we remind you constantly.
Absolutely.
Right? And just so you know, we do that for everybody. We say, what's it feel like not to going to be the first master, even though you should be because you stepped away from the mat for a while. Damn. And but what it was, so let's talk about, you have something that my folks, my kids have. Okay. Look at Austin. He says he loves us both. Look at that kid. Buddy. Oh my gosh.
I know.
And Carson said, your hair looks great, Matthew.
Well, and, you know, same.
So we decided that, you know, my children kind of grew up. When I saw your relationship with Carson the most is when you're going through a real serious time in your life. Now, you got to share an experience that's the same thing as my kids. I mean, you know, my kids, unfortunately, had to grow up through a divorce. And, yes, you know, I did not. As a matter of fact, my folks are still alive today, and they are just still in love as they were in 1959 when they got married, right? And so I didn't have to... live through what it was like for somebody to have their parents get divorced. Now my children have, and I've seen a lot of similarities with you and even my own kids. Right.
Yes, sir.
And so, you're so loved by the way, you have, Kelly's online, and this is a testament to who you are. You know what I mean? Everybody watching you, you know, Jack and I are watching you right now. So grateful Matthew returned. The impact he has on my kid is something I can never repay. See, this is just something that you may not even know the impact that you have on everybody, dude. You're just kind of showing up to to work and having a good time and changing lives every day. So this is just a testament to you as I see everybody popping online. It's been great to watch this. But let's talk about what happened with you when you had to go through a divorce and how that impacted you and how, the major thing that Carson played in your life because of it. Okay. Why don't we go down there and go from there?
Yes, sir. I can remember, like I said, I picked up karate again when I was like 13, real heavy because of my parents splitting up. And I can remember the day my parents told me. And Carson already, because like I said, I was homeschooled. I really didn't have to, like I could finish my work and then boom, I'm free, you know? And so Carson would call me and be like, hey, you want to go to the studio? And I was like, not really. I got a bunch of work to do, blah, blah, blah. My parents sat there. We had the talk and I called Carson back. I was like, hey, you got something? You want to come back get me? And he was like, yeah, no problem. So if you don't know, if you drive to Pooler to Statesboro, that's a good about 45-minute drive.
Yeah, well, yes, it is.
He already made it to Pooler, drove the 45 minutes back, and then went back to Pooler, and then drove me back home that same night. We'll never forget that for the rest of my life. Like, forever grateful. So, with that being said, karate was home. That's with everything, like I said before at the very beginning, once you kind of step on the mat, everything goes away. So instead of being home and having to deal with that process and everything like that, I would just stay at the studio. And that's really where it just picked off. And then like again at 13, you don't really know, your body's changing, you feel like you're just angry at the world, and then that's piled on. So
yes,
it helped.
Yeah, it was there. So I remember several times when I come out to town and we would have you with us. You were probably with us, I would say 90% of the time I used to come out in the beginning. Yes, so I remember, and I can see it as you're talking about it now, that it was just something that that is life-changing. And I've seen my own kids, what they've had to go through in a divorce situation, because they had to live through a divorce. And then I'm a single dad, and so I took care of the kids, and how that affected them into adults. And so I think that watching Carson kind of take you under his wing and had a real love for you, because that's,
yeah.
I mean, let's be real. Let's talk about Carson for a minute, because he never talks about himself. You know, he is one of the most selfless human beings that I've ever met. You know what I mean? He doesn't put himself in front of anybody else. You know what I mean? And I think, we spoke about it a long time with you. And, when he decided that, hey, I'm going to be here for this kid and see. And then even when you stepped away for a while, right, it was like you just opened up the door and he was right back in. Right.
That's what I'm saying. It was.
And so, that's just what I'm talking about. That's just kind of the human being that he is. And when God puts you with, somebody that's you're going to cross paths with like that, it's life changing. And so I was glad that, so some people may not know, I think the reason I wanted to hit it so much, Matt, is because you probably knowing all the kids that you teach now yourself and the students that you have, there's probably a lot of them that go through some similar stuff like you're going through. Right.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are arguing at home and you're there to hug on them for the day. And that 1 hour of time where they can have some fun and are they're being challenged or, they're being put to the test, all that other kind of stuff. Like for all of us, believe it or not, that's, the mat is a sanctuary. If I didn't have the mat and my students and all that kind of stuff, I would have been, I'm not really sure what that would look like even in my own life. You know what I mean? So I know that the importance of it, and probably, you got some of your other students, on here, you know, that this has become a second home for a lot of these teenagers. And because I'm telling you right now, it was a second home for Carson too. I mean, he lived down there. He lived at that studio. And, you know, he worked a long time to try and, I didn't have that as close relationship as I did with him when he was younger. It kind of grew as we matured into having a studio and stuff like that. But it's, so I really was glad that you hit on this, quite often, because, you've been an instructor now for, even though you're a young guy, how many kids do you have that are coming to you? You know, I'm being bullied at school. How many kids are, you can just tell in their face that they're just not having the day that they've had. And now they have this young guy, a young energetic guy that's had life experience a lot like them. And you get to be in the middle of that, changing that for 20 minutes. You've mentioned before on, I can't remember where we were talking about it, but you spoke about, what were you doing before this? Before you went full time into this, what were you doing?
I was living up in Jersey with my godfather and my aunt, and I was doing electrician work.
Hmm. That's right. And so everybody hears your accent, even though you're from Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, come on. Okay. So you don't have the common, accent, you know? So, you know, you were doing some electrical work until, you know, Carson put this in front of you. And I'm sure you've heard it like everybody else. When are you going to get a real job? This is a real job, yeah. Right? 100%, yeah. Right? Oh, all the 100%. Time.
Oh, yeah.
And, I just so I, just so you know, I still get that sometimes. Is that what you do full time?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I do full time. Yeah. So, you know, you've heard it. You know, you've heard that all before. Jerry's online right now. You can say hi to Jerry. Remember what an animal he was when we taught him? He's a beast.
Yeah, he's great.
He's an awesome.
What's up,
good
bro?
Soldier. Good soldier. So is his, I think Jerry's, his wife was no joke either. So it's just a testament to see everybody popping online for you. It should make you feel really good. And because sometimes as an instructor, right, we hear some of the most of the times we hear what the negative is, right? Right. It doesn't matter how good we do. You know, we say one wrong thing on the mat, we do one wrong thing outside the studio, and it's just like, oh my gosh. Right. And, you know, it's just, it's barrauded to something that, you know, people are tell me if we're not right, right? People are looking for us to fail, correct?
Oh, yes, sir.
People are, because we're in a leadership position, people look for us to fail so that they can say, oh, see?
You messed up.
That's, you know, so that's, that's just part of the, what happens in a martial arts school. And hopefully some of the students that are listening, they can see that there is, you know, there's no magic. There's no magic on the belt, the black belt or whatever. When it all comes down to it, we're trying to lead a life to help themselves or their children lead a better life. And we try to keep our life as clean as we can as being instructors, right? That's just, that's what we're trying to do. So it's been, that's been great seeing it. So let's fast forward to when Carson decided to bring you on full time. I think you were in the very first Pooler school, right? You were such a little kid. I don't know. Yeah. Were you?
I was like 13. So the very first school, that's when I was kind of like cleaning the mats and like I did everything. Like I would clean the mats, clean the toilets, everything. And then Carson would kind of just pay me in food. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like we'd eat lunch together. Uh-huh. We'd hang out. And like, that's what it was. And he like paid for his own gas to like come and pick me up. And like, that's what it was. Like I would help out, but not to the extent of when I got full time was when I probably, I don't know, I would say about like 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then it was for teaching, you know, teach us class. Mm-hmm. And, but it was great. It was just to watch it grow from what it was from the very first school to what the studio is now. It's unbelievable.
I guess. Yeah. And it's what have you learned being around a man like Carson? What's that taught you? I mean, you can't dispute that the man is he's got a gift
of being just, I feel like if karma was a person of how good he is, that's why Carson is so lucky. Like, if that makes any sense. Carson's just so good. That's why he's been blessed. Like, that's, yeah. I feel like it's, you know, I don't know how to really describe it.
Yeah, I think that, I think you're right. I think that having him, and I know that you appreciate what he's done, especially in your life, you know what I mean? And
couldn't even put it
I think
words.
That, yeah, I mean, it's been great. It's been great watching him, and it's been a pleasure being part of watching his growth and helping him. 'Cause you know, he had, you know, losing his father was major for him. And sure. It's almost like, you know, that's where God had me come in. And then you're right behind. So him being able to learn all the lessons he learned from his dad into you, you know what I mean? And so I never discount that. I think that's awesome. So with Carson doing that, so you've been in the school now. I remember the very first school. Remember, it was a smaller mat. Yeah. And, you know, I remember it being there. And then, did you test for black belt there?
Yes, sir. The very first, well, we would always like go and we would rent out like local schools or things like that. And, yes, sir. My first degree black belt was with Carson at the
right. I think because you guys are living on the Pooler side. So even going to Statesboro, that was even hard at that time. So
yes, sir.
I think that's what I remember. That's when you got your black belt. And, and then from there, you started this journey. So why don't you tell me what you saw when it came to, let's talk about our special needs, because this is a niche that we're going to talk about that you have, okay? But, you know, everybody knows that. They call Carson the autistic whisperer, you know, that he just had a gift when it comes to special needs kids, and he had a heart that he wanted to teach kids, that get them in the martial arts, and he wanted to expose people to special needs.
Yeah.
Now, right now, you tell me, the school that you have today, now that you guys have this big giant school and stuff like that, when Austin comes in, dude, is there a time? How? Come on, dude. You know, so, right, like, I'm like, whenever I see the kid, it's just, you cannot be in a bad mood around that kid.
Never.
He's just excited to see you on day one at day 3,000, dude. Yeah. Okay. It does not matter. He steps in, and if I'm in town, it's the first thing I hear, Mr. Cox.
Right.
And, hey, buddy. And, you know, it just melts, right? It's just,
yes, sir.
It's just something. And so I forgot to do this for you now. So I'm going to do it on my platform here. But, when you tested for your third degree black belt, I leaned over to Carson and said, I never seen such a selfless act in Matthew today as I have ever seen, because on your, and I forgot, man, I just kicked myself because I forgot to talk to you about in front of the group. But when I sat and watched that test, all I could remember is you sacrificed your whole test to make sure that Austin can do his test. You stood right by him. You did the forms with him. It wasn't about you at all. And then, you know, anything Austin had to do, you were right there. You were doing forms with him. So you sacrificed your time to shine for your degree in order for Austin to be able to be shown, right? And it was, I never got to tell you that day, but that was a real turning point in the respect that I had for you from that test. So as at least on my platform here, we've got a good 20 people or so watching this, that they, and this is going to go out to hundreds, if not thousand people when they re-listen to this, but that was the most selfless act that I have ever seen. And it was awesome to see. So, tell me about your special needs. Now, I remember I've been watching you now because you've kind of taken over that role that you do probably most of the privates. And now you're teaching others how to work with special needs. Is that correct? You got other instructors underneath you now that you're teaching them how to work with the special needs kids, where some of them are having it, right?
Well, I've got my, I would say my one who I've kind of poured everything into is, shout out Mr. Gabriel, you know, he's actually on his camping trip right now. Well, he just is left to go. Yeah. It was funny. He called me this morning. The kid couldn't load the kayak up. So the kayak fell out his truck. And it was so he's off to a great vacation. But yes, sir, I've got that young man. And again, shout out to him. Like, for such a young age for Mr. Gabriel to be work, because the kid's only 18. And I can remember coming in at 18 as well, working with these kids. And you can see it him for himself. He's just got that genuine just click for it, you know?
How did it change you, Matthew? How did working with kids like that change you?
That's just another one of those things. It's hard to put into words. Like, you know, as a kid, times were different, you know, like as a dude's kind of dude, you talked different. You used the different types of slangs or things like that or expressions. And now as back in high school, you know, it was really, we had like the few special needs kids at school you would kind of interact with, things like that. And you never really saw anybody like mistreat anyone, but we had this one kid named Zach, and it was just like I said, it's kind of like Austin. You see someone and you couldn't have a bad day with the kid, man. Just none but smiles, nothing but good intentions. And but then after that, it was, you know, they don't, like, schools don't let those kids interact much with people. So I didn't know much about it. But then when I started working here with Carson, I was kind of just thrown straight into it. And it's life-changing. It's just because, like, these kids can go through so many struggles that I couldn't even think of the struggles that some of these kids go through. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there kicking and smiling like, this is the best time of their life, dude. Like, so. Right. You sit there and you're like, wow, my problems ain't that bad.
Right. You know? So, you know, I think I agree with you because I've watched this too before. You know, I've seen Maddox on the mat. I've seen him be, I remember when Maddox first started, and then to where he can kind of, you know, you can help walk him now, and he crawls around on the mat, and this is where they love to be, and the smiles on their face. And what that is, I don't know about you, but when I work with them, I'm like, how do any of my students have an excuse?
You know, or like, right. Even myself, like,
right.
You know, you sit there and you're like, you know, I don't really want to train today. Like, I might not. And then you're like sitting there, you're like, wow. All right. And these kids are just ready to go. Like, they love it. Like, and so for me to be able to get those kids to just sit there and like laugh, giggle, hang out, throw a few punches. Like you said, at the same time, it feels like, you know, you clock into work, you do your thing. But then like once you're sitting there and you're doing your stuff, it doesn't feel like work. Like it feels like you're just being able to just hang out. Like you're having fun with them, you know, like you're
right. I do the same thing when I come out there, man. I look forward to it. And I think another thing that that really helped is it, you know how sometimes when you see someone in a wheelchair or something like that, you know, it people are kind of standoffish. But when you're in an environment where they're welcomed, it's and normal. it allows for them to have for others to say, hey, you know what? This is really not as scary as what I think it is, right?
Yes, sir.
They smile, they laugh. I mean, it was the last time I was there and then you guys did a question and answer with me, you know, and you know, our boy in a wheelchair, he's non-communicative, but when I talked about competing and I talked about competing somebody in a wheelchair, he perked up when I said it and he laughed. And I thought to myself, man, I think there's a lot more in there than people think, man. Oh, there's 100%. No way he did not understand me on that.
Yeah.
Right. Even though he couldn't communicate. But so little things like that have always, you know, I don't know, just really helped with what that is as far as special needs goes, and to give the mystique of the wheelchair or the mystique of cerebral palsy, or it's not as scary. You know, people get scared of the fact, or they don't know how to react or be around people with special needs. And it's such an environment because it's just part of it.
That's just normal.
You don't go this is normal day in Bueller Karate. You know what I mean? You know, absolutely. You got somebody that's just screaming and yelling on the other mat. And it's like, oh, that's so-and-so. Yeah. He's got a little problem with that. And, you know, it's just normal. It's just what it is. And so it's been great watching you teach them, and then all of a sudden you got other people underneath you. You know, Carson's taught you, now you're teaching others, right? You know, Kelly's there. This is Joe's wife. You know, he's people accepting Jack, their daughter too, and not being mean to her was my biggest concern when I found out she had brain damage. We are so grateful for Matthew, Carson, all the amazing instructors. You know, this is just a testament to that school. And to you guys and the leadership in that school about being accepting to, you know, everybody, no matter where they're at. Isn't the mat an amazing thing, right? The mat just does not care about, first of all, don't care about your feelings. Doesn't care about how you feel.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't care about what color, creed, or religion you are. It just cares about, you know, are you on the mat giving your best, whether you're the instructor or you're the student. Doesn't matter either way. So it's been an awesome thing to, you know. So when somebody says, when are you going to get a real job? You know what I mean?
I chuckle. It's
funny. That's it. Right?
I just feel like, joke's on you. Like, I'm in air conditioning. I play with kids all day. You know, like, you can hate. Like, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So, well, let's talk about, last time I was there, right? I want to talk about your influence you have. We sat together, right? And I said, Matthew, you have such a skill with these guys. You need to do a TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We had this conversation, right? I said,
yes, sir.
And what your first thing you said to me, goes, come on. Bro. I said, bro, I am telling you that this is going to blow up. Because you are going to take something that people are just mystified by, people that are disabled, and you're going to be able to put them out there in this TikTok. And I said, you need to do a special kicks TikTok. So, and I said, you're going to get influence and you're going to find something one of these kids are going to do is just going to blow up, because it can't help but pull on your heartstrings. And so what happens? Let's talk about while I'm there that weekend. You set it up.
Yeah, so we were sitting there. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Bouchard walked in the room. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, tell Joe that's why he's not on the show, because he doesn't seem to, you know what I'm saying?
He said, this is why you're not on the show, sir.
So
okay, so yeah, the TikTok. You're sitting there, and you know, I was never big into it. I never watched it; wasn't really my thing. And you're like, "Oh, like you know, you should do it. You know, get into it." I'm like, "All right, what's the worst thing that could happen?" You know. And I posted a couple videos, and then it was like the week after you left, or something like that. And I posted one, and it was funny. Me and Mr. Bouchard stayed at the studio that night because we had to hand out waters, because they had a marathon for all the fallen firefighters, all the fallen police officers, and they did like a little race in front of the school. So they closed the street down. So we spent the night out here, and I posted the video, fell asleep. By the time I woke up, it had, like 100,000 views. And I was like, like, okay, like, all right. All right. So then I'm like, just like looking at it all day. I'm like, all right, cool, cool, cool. I throw it down. I leave it alone. The next day I wake up, like 500,000 people have seen it. And I was just like, whoa. And then I kept posting. I think I checked this morning and I looked, I think it's at 30,000 followers by now. So I, what was really cool when I reached.
So I'm going to put this up there.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. Keep going.
What was really cool when I reached honestly like 2,000 people or something like that. I was like, wow, like 2,000 people have like are seeing like what we're doing. Like, you know, like it's going not just local news, things like this. That's where I truly realized like the power of social media. It can go everywhere.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I kept posting videos. By the end of like, I looked at the video again like this morning, and it's got 1.9 million views on one video.
1.9 million views. And now, so you were at, we called it Special Kicks at first. Now you've changed it.
Yes, sir.
So tell me the name. I'm going to put it in the comments so people can look at it.
It was Smiles and Kicks.
Okay. So what made you decide? Because believe it or not, we talk about this.
Really?
We talked about what this can do, right? So when I was out there last time, I do this video of Austin doing his self-defense, and then him and I just having a little moment together. And then in overnight, 15,000 views watching Austin do his thing.
Yes, sir.
Right? And so I was like, what the heck, man? And then you had, now what's your video that went super viral? Which one was that?
It was funny. Like, so as you know, I run the Little Ninja testing now. So I'm doing the belting process, you know, and I come up to, her name's Michaela. And so I come up to Michaela and I'm like, hey. And without even like hesitation, like this little girl just like full on like spider monkey jumps and like gives me a hug. And it like I tied her belt on and like that was it. Just like a normal belting, like, you know, like it literally happens like all the time. And it was so crazy.
Right? I told you that it's the craziest thing that's going to catch people's hearts.
Yes, sir.
And so. You guys, now your hat, how many followers there on TikTok do you have now?
30,000.
30,000.
Yes, sir.
So, listen, now I was only out there, what, 4 months ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? This hasn't been very long.
Yes, sir.
Right? And now you get to see what you've put in these kids with special needs on the map. Like, wow. So martial arts can do this.
What's really interesting is like the messages people will send and been like, oh my gosh, I wish there was something like this in our city. Like me being able, like it was some people with, I had this one little girl with Down syndrome. It was so sweet. Cause you know how you can like duet on TikTok?
You can duet.
Mm-hmm. She duetted one of the videos and was like, watching your videos is like the highlight of my day. Thank you so much for treating like everybody normal. And like, it's just so sweet to like see all the love coming in from like everybody else being like, dude, you're killing it. These kids are awesome. Like, keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, it's just so to see everybody else like see what we do here. It is just, mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's been great. I wanted to bring that up to talk about just the power of that. From an idea that
Us sitting on the couch talking, just messing around. I know.
Right. And I remember you and I at the studio, and I'm like, I'm hammering you because you almost didn't do it.
Yes, sir.
You're like, nah, dude, I'm not going to do that. I don't do TikTok. You know, I'm not going to do TikTok. And I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, you've got this yourself. I mean, it's the kids. It's your interactions with them. It's your genuine, you're kind of a genuine guy with them. And then how they feel towards you and the love. And I said, in this kind of a world where everything is just nothing but garbage and crap every day, this little thing here of this little school in the middle of Georgia that are changing lives with these kids in wheelchairs and Down syndrome or whatever, cerebral palsy, whatever the case may be, autism, all of it is awesome. This is what it's all about. So now you've gone from this little kid that got his black belt to now you're at third degree black belt now, right? Working towards master's rank. And
yes, sir.
But you won't be the first master's, right, at the studio?
No, sir.
Okay, that's right. Okay, that's.
I appreciate you. Thank you for reminding me again, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to make sure that I remind you. I didn't want all my compliments to get too blown up in your head, because I'm sure.
Feeling like this, but now we're back to normal, sir.
Okay, you're probably going to get out there and go, Mr. Cox never said many nice things.
I've been
in an hour. So, you know, your generosity that you have as far as with all the special kicks. Tell me how you do your leadership now that you've taken Gabe underneath your wing. How do you teach in him? How do you teach these young guys what it's like? Tell me your thought process on that. How are you taking yourself into how they teach?
Honestly, pretty much of how you guys have taught me. Like everyone, I feel like I know I'm only 23 and I say the generation below me, but I don't know what it is, man. It's just, it's different. I don't know. But you gotta, I'm trying to think, like without Mr. Bouchard, it's been really helpful because I've never had to manage anybody. I've never had to have anybody underneath me, because and I'm very bad about it. If something's not really going the way I would like for it to go, or something's not be done, I'll just go ahead and do it myself.
Gotcha.
So delegating was really, really a thing I'm struggling and having to work with myself. But constant reassurance, let them hang out with me while I'm doing a private lesson. Let them we'll kind of pretty much do private lessons together sometimes. And let him kind of get a feel of the diagnosis or whatever the student's got going on. With Gabriel, it wasn't really hard to bring him up. Like, Gabriel was a natural. Like, the kid's just got a heart for it.
I think that's what it is. You know, when you have a heart for something and you have a genuine heart, you're just kind of plugging things in now. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, cause you can't teach heart, you know, I don't know. I say that and I'm not sure if you say you can't teach heart, maybe that's not the right thing. If you tell people you can't teach heart, you can teach that it's okay to have a heart for them. You can teach, you can teach somebody how to be shy and then have this animal, instinct to defend themselves. I mean, that I guess you can teach heart, but you build off somebody that has that natural gift to help. You know what I mean? So, you have an old friend on here that's saying hi. You remember Maurice, huh?
Yeah.
He's serving our country these days. So he's away from the school. So let's talk about Bouchard real quick. Let's talk about his leadership and how it's helped. Now, listen, so we, you know, Carson and I brought you in when we went out on base and started teaching military. We started bringing you in. We brought Michael down one time and we brought you down because I think you guys bring something to the table that they were not used to. guys that are kind of skilled, and Joe always talking about having a worthy opponent and then putting worthy opponents in front of their soldiers to see if they can defend themselves properly. Right. And sure. So, you know, Joe came in our lives through us teaching a martial arts thing, you know, and it's just, so you have somebody that, you know, is out of the military, a combat vet, that was in the military leading groups and troops and stuff like that, and now he's inside the school kind of leading management. And you know, tell me the stuff you've learned from Joe as far as management goes. Where is that taking you now, being what you're doing?
Well, we all know that really Mr. Bouchard just keeps the water cold, you know.
Yeah, well, you know that.
No, but so, like delegating things, like just telling me how to just be the best I can be. How to like work like slideshows for our staff meetings, like how we do on Wednesdays, or how we all have to present everything back to Carson mm-hmm. by the week. So how we all communicating things better, making sure we're planning things how to be on top of my game to make sure like everybody here can have the best experience they can possibly have.
So what we've seen is Joe has an expertise in that, you know, being from the military and being organized like he is.
Yes, sir.
And then of course he's just an animal on the mat. So he's being able to drive you, having somebody around to drive you to be a better martial artist. And because tell me, did you get stagnant before he was around? Did you get stagnant in your training?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody right? gets to that point where they feel like they're other than like Master Carson or anybody, there weren't many, I would say, scrappers in the gym. So mm-hmm. when you get to a point where you're kind of feel like top dog for a second or like, so you get stagnant. And then Mr. Bouchard came in one day and I left with black eye bruised, yes, you know, like it was, it was always great to like keep pushing forward.
So it's good, you know, and the reason I ask you that is because you're kind of young, you know what I mean? You're 23 in a leadership position in a big school. Because I think how many students do you guys have? Do you guys have a number of how many you think you are? In the 400s, right?
Yeah.
Four, maybe close to 500 students in your guys' school. I don't know if some people really realize just how big the school is and how many students are really there and how many people you're facilitating. Joe says, you're welcome, by the way, on his thing.
Yeah.
But I think you still have, it's okay, Joe, because I still think you have more signups than Krav, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So karate is still doing. Yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure stay humble in there. You know what I mean?
You know.
I wanted you to, from your perspective as a young guy, that did you go to school, Matt?
No, sir. I didn't go to college.
Right. So, I didn't either. You know, I did some college. I didn't do a ton of college, right? And it just wasn't for me. More of the school of hard knocks is what is the route that I went. And I wanted people to know that, you know, real life experience sometimes, this gets overshadowed, you know, in life, that can a young man make differences, learn stuff, real life stuff in a work environment. And I think that you've attested to that. You've proven that, you know, work ethic, heart go hand in hand, and you know, you can, this is where you're at. So I think for somebody that's 23 years old, that's been major. You know, my kids, my sons, you know, Michael did go through college, and I think that's, you know, that's great too. Whatever anybody's path is, that's their path. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And I think that as we're winding down here, I think I want you to tell people what is it that drives you to come, you know, when you're having these days, bad days, because we've all had it. I know you had a rough relationship too, and tell me that the school really wasn't what your backbone was. I mean, I'm telling you, when I went through divorce, if it wasn't for my school, oh my gosh. Okay. And so why don't you tell them, dude, what drives you? What you like about martial art? What you like about being what you like about being an instructor and what you like being a mentor? Why don't you just say what, in your words, you know, what it's like to come to a school and do what you do on a daily?
It's like from the minute I walk in, you kind of take that deep breath and you're just like, like, you know, it's just, I don't know. The studio's got a different kind of smell. I don't know if you can relate to it. It's just like, smells like the studio.
Right.
And, it's home. And as soon as classes get going, you know how the studio is set up. You walk in and then you can kind of see the mats. And then as soon as they come around that corner and they're just like, Mr. Mateo, like, I don't have kids of my own, but I feel like that's the closest thing you could like feel, you know, as soon as they come around the corner and they're just like, it's so excited to see you. They're like, just ready to go, ready to tell you about their day. Cause what's funny is like, I see these kids sometimes than my own family. Like cause I'm constantly here. And so it's great to watch them grow, honestly, because when you see them start off, you know, they're like a baby deer, and then by the end of it, you know, they're fully grown, doing their own thing. For like prime example, we have Mr. Jeeval. You know, give him, he'll be the first master of the studio. Yes,
correct.
And to see him from 6 years old, man, now being like 15, it's great, man. To really just see them grow and be who they're like meant to be, you know, and to be able to like mold them and show them like, this is good, this is bad, don't do it, like, you know.
So even in your young life, you know, your experiences that you have, tell me if being in leadership position hasn't changed how you attack life yourself, right? You know, the thought process behind things, for sure.
Absolutely, right. For sure, absolutely. Like you said, it's always, if someone's like, they're looking to see you mess up, you know, they want to, like, so I've always feel like if I'm not carrying myself to the standard that's, you know, how you're supposed to be, then these kids could see it, and then like, well, if I was supposed to be like the one person. Or, because like you said, like sometimes they're having problems at home or something along those lines. So if I can be that one person, be like, you know, Mr. Matthew was always cool. Mr. Matthew always was, that was a cool dude. You know, I want to be like him. And then when you actually hear it, that like, wow, like, because I had it happened honestly, like last week, I had a little kid be like, you know, I want to be like you when I grow up. And you're just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Like,
yeah,
it hits you. And so right. that's when you have those moments that really like set that drive again back in you, and you're like, now I know why I do this.
Yeah. It's been great. You know, it's been great watching you mature. Maybe do you see a little bit this is your pop, I think, just came on right here. Do you see? Yeah. Yeah. Dad's a good guy. You know, when, do you see how we get on your case as your instructor, what we're trying to do now?
100%.
Right. I think that's one of the main things that, you know, I don't know. Yeah, Cody's saying hi to you too, man.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, we miss having Cody around. Your girlfriend's still not taking class either, Cody. I'm just letting you know that she should be on the mat. You know, I'm hoping that as you see what me, especially, you can see me, especially, you know, I'm always kind of given lessons, life lessons, because I took so many wrong turns in my life that without the studio, I wouldn't have been anywhere close. And, you know, I make my mistakes every day of the week, you know, and I'm still trying to learn from what I have. And so I think that I'm hoping that you see, and by the way, my leadership maybe isn't always what your leadership is, just so everybody knows, right? You know, the way I do things or the way I can say things, it might not be quite what, how you're going to attack things. Correct.
Yes, sir.
Or, you know that my flavor is a lot different than Carson's. You know what I mean? You know, Mr. Carson, he's nice about everything, whatever. And, until you fold them the wrong way, and then you have a different flavor. So I just think that in layers of leadership, you guys, as young men that you guys are here, you know, I speak to my own sons at this also, including Carson, because I look at him as one of my sons. As you guys continue in your growth, I think that you have for sure showing what a young man has in this in where you have influence over people's lives, over their children, and they entrust you with their children. I think as leaders, you take that to heart and become the man that you want your children to be and to mimic in life. Okay. Because I guess that's where you're at now. So continue your journey, dude. I think that, you know, I wanted to do this with you for a while. I wanted people to go, if they want to go see, your TikTok, and then they're going to get a real flavor for what these kids are. Okay.
Yeah.
And because it's really not about you or I, it's really about them.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you don't know until you hold somebody up that can't walk themselves, and you're right there in their ear, and you're like, come on, you can do this. And we know, right? We've got students that are like, oh, I'm too tired to go to class. And you got this one struggling to take a half a step.
Yes, sir.
And smiling while they're doing it. So anything I've learned over the time is just like excuses, man. I can't deal with them. You know what I mean? That when you get to work with those type of children, you get to see what it's like to have perseverance and self-control and an indomitable spirit. Everything we teach is right there in that. And if that doesn't get your heart, I just don't know what does, man. As a matter of fact, I'll be there in a couple weeks. I'm coming down in 2 weeks.
Awesome. So, yeah, I know.
Because, so I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again. But once again, Matthew, this is probably one of the most, you know, everybody talking to you out here, by the way. This is another one. Matthew's a big brother, pseudo dad to many of these kids. His rules, life lessons for this group of teens is amazing. Could not ask for a better mentor for my teen. Even in your young life, you know, you've gone through a lot of stuff. And as hard as the stuff is that we did, that you've done, divorce, whether it's divorce, your relationships that went south or whatever it is, your experiences get to help those that you're bringing up and mentoring in this time. So you're doing a great job. I'm looking forward to seeing what else is on the horizon. And I'll be there in a couple weeks.
All right.
And everybody, I put out what his TikTok is. Okay. It's at Smiles and Kicks. If you guys want to go and be one of his 30,000 followers that he has now, you know, it's his, right? You still can't believe that, right?
It was crazy. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It's just amazing. You know what I mean? You know, having Maurice, one of the soldiers on here talking to us, one of our black belts from back then. Frankie McConnell's one of my black belts here in California. He's online right now. Rain wants to be just like Mr. Matthew, you know? So it's just good. It should make you feel good. It should make you feel proud of yourself. You know, as much as we get on you, dude, this was a time for me to make you shine, give you an hour of the accolades that you get, but I will be there in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
It's not going to be all rainbows. It's not going to be all rainbows and sunshine when I come in, bro.
I wouldn't expect anything else, sir.
All right. Because I don't know. Tell me, since you went and did a jiu-jitsu tournament, you did a no-gi, and, you know, you called me right after. You know, you took third, and you've never competed before, and you did, I don't know how many matches, and you're like, I'm the third loser. So tell me, how many classes have you done since then to make yourself better?
How many? I've... probably done like one or two, to be honest.
That's there. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So make sure you have your little, I'll have my little rash guard. You have yes, your sir. Little rash guard and we're going to get on that mat.
Absolutely.
When I sir. Get out there, we're yes, going to see what's up, you know, cause there's nothing I like better than smoking 23 year olds when I'm 60. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I really had a good time with you, Matt.
Thank you.
Your dad should be proud of you. I know that Carson's proud of you. Keep up the good work. We will see you in 2 weeks. I will have this on. You can share this. This will be on Facebook Live. It'll be already saved. And on YouTube, it'll be saved. But I'll have the audio transcript coming out by the end of day. And so those that can't watch this, they'll be able to go up on my podcast and listen to the audio about from you. So make sure you share it and share it on your TikTok so people can get to know you a little bit more. You know, just put out the, you know, for a second, go up to, I can't believe I'm telling you how to do TikTok, but in your bio and just say, put something out and put the link to this and people can go to the link and listen to you talk. And it'd be a way to get it out there and we'll make something nice because it's got a lot of play. The picture I use is with you and Austin and anybody that, you know, it would be fun. Next time, maybe we do one of these, dude.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do something. Yet. We'll do something live, you and I together, and we'll have Austin because, man, that is going to be fun.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That's going to be fun. All right? So I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Go do your stuff. You got lessons, man. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, sir.
You've been listening to Real Talk with Mark Cox. Real life, real topics, real conversation. We're passionate about motivation, fitness, self-defense, weight loss, and coming at it from a real angle. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. And we hope you had fun. We know we did. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook at MarkCox100. Make sure to subscribe and review. And tell a friend or two about the show. For more, hit up the website at markcox.com. Till next time, keep it real.